listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I thought we might not be having a show tomorrow, but we are. At least that's the plan. Because right now we have a number of our students are at a conference, and because of that, the notice I got on the door was that they were going to close the entire department, which means the studio as well. But I just checked with our sound engineer, and he's going to be in here in the afternoon, so it looks like we will have a show Friday, which I had planned on. This show is also going to have to be a little shorter than expected. I thought the studio was going to be open for at least another hour or so. That is not the case, again, because of this conference. It looks like the memo. I never got the memo, assuming there was a memo. What's in the news? What's getting everyone's attention on talk radio in the news? You can't miss it, folks. It's what Donald Trump said to Chris Matthews. Let me tell you a story. I was in the newsroom, because I don't watch television at home, and saw this clip and the question being asked and Donald Trump's answer. And I said, whoops, he's going to have a problem. Now, I would not have answered the question the way Donald Trump did. And there was a black woman, a student, and she couldn't believe what Donald Trump said. Now, what am I talking about? This was what I call a liberal progressive gotcha type question. And Donald Trump walked right into it. It's one of these hypothetical questions. Assuming abortion was illegal in the United States, should women be punished? Let me rephrase the question. In a way, this is one way to answer it. The easiest, simple way is that I don't answer hypotheticals. And that's the smart, quick way if you're pressed for time. Now, if you're still pressed, another way to have answered that question is, well, that's very interesting, Chris, but I don't think the United States is going to pass a law making it illegal to have an abortion. For the simple reason, that is truly up to the people of each state. And if the people of each state want to make abortions illegal, that is certainly their right, and I would support that effort. That's one easy way to answer it. And then it's up to the state legislatures, the people in that state, to determine what, if any, punishment should a woman who seeks an abortion when it's illegal be subject to. Now, let me, for listeners that are not in Texas, there was supposed to be an execution. I believe it was supposed to take place yesterday. This was a gentleman who's been in prison over 10 years. He killed his two daughters. He called his wife, who had divorced him, threatened her over the phone, and then killed his two daughters, and subsequently was captured, tried, convicted, and has been on death row for over 10 years. And this was the legal effort. The last I've checked was for a stay of execution. I believe it was granted. He killed his two daughters. Now, I'm using this for an example, a rather horrific example. Should a murderer be punished? I think probably 99% of the population of the United States would say yes. If you kill someone, you should be punished. Murder should be illegal, and it is in every state. Now, notice I didn't frame the question, should we have capital punishment for murder? That's an other question. Now, just so you understand where I'm coming from, I'm very much pro-life, but I'm also in favor of the capital punishment. Now, people say, well, that's inconsistent. I said, no, it's not inconsistent. I believe in protecting life, and the way you protect life is to stop cold-blooded murders. You see, if it were up to me, and it's not up to me, I don't want to be a dictator, but if it were up to me, we would still have public executions as a deterrent against others from doing murder. You see, right now, the taxpayers had to pay for over 10 years to keep this gentleman on death row, and he's still there, and that is not atypical. If anything, it's the usual situation. If they want to exhaust every single appeal, and that's exactly what's happening, then you run into this situation. Now, some states don't have capital punishment. And as a result, you know, if a person is, assume he doesn't get sick or have an accident in prison, can easily be on death row 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And it costs $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year to keep someone incarcerated. That's a lot of money that could be spent on something else. So I'm definitely favor having an appeals process. It should not be, it should have a point where it stops. Because if you don't, you get in the situations, people being on death row 10, 15, 20 years, sometimes longer. There's no closure, is the jargon used if you read the news. Now, let's get back to Donald Trump. He's asked a hypothetical question. He didn't answer it very well. Now, I don't disagree with his answer because I know where he's coming from. If you believe in the rule of law, I do. I believe Donald Trump does. And if there's a law on the books, whether it's a state law and federal law, that makes certain conduct a crime, and a person commits that crime, is given a fair trial, and it's determined by a jury of his peers that he's guilty of the crime, there should be punishment. And usually there are guidelines as to what that punishment should be in terms of the number of years served in prison. And clearly it depends on the seriousness of the crime, the damages done to other people, and there are a range of factors that need to be considered. Now, there have been polls over the years as to where the American people stand on abortion. The majority of American people want to make abortion illegal. That might surprise some of you pro-choice people, but that's what the majority of the American people favor. They're not pro-choice or pro-abortion. In other words, you're in the minority. The numbers have changed over the years, and it also depends on the circumstances. For example, some would give exceptions for rape, incest, and where the life of the mother is threatened. The problem with the last one is it's not very difficult to get the last one. In other words, the life of the mother is not threatened, but it's fairly routine to use that as a justification, and you get a doctor to say it. But the overwhelming majority of the American people do not favor abortions and really don't want them to be legal. The problem is we have a Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, that made it legal. Now, I'm bringing this up not because I had planned to do a show on whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, but this is a topic that the liberals and progressives always bring up, especially if they think they're going to have difficulty being elected and nominated. They do this because they know, as well as I know, there are certain issues with people that I call deal-breaking type of issues or hot-button issues. And what I mean by that, if you're on the wrong side of this issue, people won't vote for you. For example, I am very much pro-life. If I'm convinced, and usually you run into three situations. They're either pro-life or pro-choice, rather black and white, and you have some people are in the middle. I would put Donald Trump somewhere in the middle. Now, he says he's pro-life, but he's changed his position. And that's why Chris Matthews was bringing this up. Chris Matthews used to work for Tip O'Neill when he was Speaker of the House. He's a Democrat. He's a Catholic. And Donald Trump pointed out, well, isn't your faith pro-life? It is. And Matthews gave what I think a weasel word answer. Well, morally, I agree with my church. That's technically the correct answer. But why aren't you supporting, then, legislation that would make abortions illegal? He won't do that because it's a fascist state. Excuse me? What are we talking here? We're talking about the killing of a baby in the womb. Now, you get in a whole discussion is, well, the baby's not viable. That's not the question, but some want to make it the question. And what's happened because of advances in medical science, today it's around 20, 21 weeks, and with more advances, it's going to go further down. Because some people would say, well, abortions in the first trimester, the first 3 months are okay, but abortions either in the last trimester or the second trimester are not okay. I have a rather hard-line position. That is not an issue. It's life. At conception, life starts. And the victim of abortions is not women, it's the baby. What we're talking about is the right to life. And who is really not protected here? It's the baby, especially the baby in the womb. Whether it's 1 week, 10 weeks, or 25 weeks, it's a baby. It's growing into a human being, and no other human being, whether it's the woman carrying the baby or the doctor performing the abortion, should have the right to end another life. And what I told this other student, I said, listen, I have a radio show to do in about 5 minutes, so don't get me started on pro-life, but let me give you an example. Let's say you have a baby, and you take that baby home, and then the crying starts. And then one day, the baby is screaming, crying, could be sick, whatever the cause. And you decide to smother that baby. In other words, you're murdering the baby. And that's what you do. Should you be punished? I believe you should. Because that's the law in all the states. Now, I'm not getting into the issue of what the punishment should be. That depends on which state or jurisdiction you're in. And also the circumstances. But it is a crime and it has a punishment. And it's a rather severe punishment given the fact that you're taking a life. That's what this father did when he killed his two daughters. I don't know the ages, but they were not small children. They were not babies. He was sentenced to death and he's awaiting execution pending the resolution of a stay of execution. In the meanwhile, he's cost the taxpayers of Texas probably over $500,000 to keep him incarcerated. Yeah, there are costs involved. Now, I hear this, especially from black women, but also other women. Well, it's my body, and I have the right to do with my body whatever I like. Yes, but that's not we're not talking about your body. What we're talking about is the body in your body. You don't have the right to kill a baby. I'm not killing a baby. I'm killing a fetus. Well, one reason is abortions have actually slightly gone down over time. But roughly 60 million, I'm ballparking here, but in that neighborhood, there have been somewhere between 50 and 60 million abortions performed in the United States since Roe versus Wade. It was a 1972 Supreme Court decision. That's a lot of people, folks. That's almost 20% of the United States population. And about 35% of those abortions are black babies. And we have a black president, actually a mulatto president, and the Democratic Party all support Planned Parenthood, want it publicly funded, demanding that it be publicly funded. You see, the progressive movement doesn't want to be specific on this, but its origins were very much racist, and most of the people believed in eugenics. And that was directed at who? Primarily blacks and poor whites and the disabled and the retarded. The defectives, the so-called unfit. They wanted them killed. They don't want to discuss that. Hillary Clinton, and one of her heroes is Margaret Sanger. Initially, she was opposed to abortion and then changed her mind. And as a result, one of her legacies, although it changed its name, is now Planned Parenthood. And they're the principal provider of abortions in the United States. It's an abortion mill. They have killed millions of babies. And Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama are proud supporters of Planned Parenthood. What I favor is adoption of the children. If you don't want the baby, and that's what we're talking about here, deliver the baby and then sign the legal documents and offer it to a husband and wife, a couple that truly want the child. And there are millions, tens of millions of Americans that are looking to care for those babies. There is an alternative. Not talked about much. I don't consider that punishment. And I know there is a risk of dying during pregnancy, but that risk has gone down, down, and down. At one time, it was really risky. 100 years ago, yes, you could die. You could bleed to death. I understand that. But again, medical science has advanced. And it's really rare when you need to terminate a pregnancy in order to save the mother. There are circumstances where that's the case. But that exception is used by a lot of people when the life of the mother isn't threatened. The doctor knows it. The women involved know it. But it happens all the time. Or a better way to say it, it happens more than what society would like to see. Now, I have a problem, and it's beginning to become annoying. And I don't tell people what to do. I can make suggestions, but it's up to you to change your ways. I'm getting rather tired of Donald Trump not being as prepared as he should. Now, remember, this was in a town hall meeting in Wisconsin where Chris Matthews was the moderator, but he also was taking questions from the audience. The problem with Trump is he immediately, or the next day, changed his position, saying, no, the woman shouldn't be punished, but the doctor should be. Let me give you an analogy. Let's say you don't like your husband. As a matter of fact, you hate your husband, and you want to kill your husband, but you know the police are going to suspect you of killing your husband. That usually the prime suspect is a member of the family, and if the husband gets killed, the prime suspect is going to be wife, or if the wife gets killed, it's the husband. So what some people do is hire a killer. So they have an alibi. No, you know, I was in New York when he was killed in Dallas. Guess what? The person that killed that spouse is guilty of murder. But if you solicit someone to do that, so are you. And you both will be punished. And periodically, we hear cases of that. Conservatives, classical liberals, believe in the rule of law, not the rule of man, the rule of law. And when we're talking about criminal conduct activity, depending on the nature and seriousness of the crime, there are punishments involved. There's also a process involved, making sure you get your day in court. You see, Donald Trump answered the question, and I would have answered the same thing. If you commit a crime, such as if abortion is illegal in the United States and you seek an abortion, I believe that's a crime and there should be a punishment. I'm not sure what that punishment is, but there should be a punishment. You don't want to encourage people to kill their babies. You don't want to encourage people to go out and find someone to kill your spouse. This case, the person involved in the killing is the doctor, a medical doctor, licensed by the state. They're licensed killers of babies. That's why many doctors don't want to perform abortions. Some do, but many, most don't. Don't want any part of it for a number of reasons. It violates their religious belief, and they really believe that abortion should be illegal. And I think it's the right of the people of every state to determine that. And yes, some states are going to make it legal. And if you don't like living there, move. And many people have done that. You see, I'm not in favor of the Supreme Court writing laws. Interpreting yes, writing no. And that's what they did in Roe versus Wade. That decision needs to be revisited and then let every state determine whether or not they're going to make abortion legal in their state. At one time, across this nation, it was. Not anymore. You see, the progressives and liberals want to frame this issue as this is a war on women. I'm not aware of a war on women. What I am aware is there have been a lot of babies killed since 1973 that would have been alive had it not been for Roe versus Wade. Tens of millions of individuals. Their lives were not protected. They didn't get a chance to vote on it. They didn't get a chance to hire an attorney. The real victims were the babies. And a more long-lasting consequence, an inescapable consequence, where you have this cavalier attitude towards life, what you have is life being considered cheap and people taking other people's lives. You have violence and murder. I know that the crime rates and the homicide rates have gone down. And we'll never know, but had Roe versus Wade not been the Supreme Court decision that made abortions legal, we would have tens of millions of more people, and probably many people that were killed as a result of a homicide might be alive. See, I agree with Donald Trump's answer. I just wouldn't answer it the way he did. And I know why he answered it that way. I used to be in business, and all my clients, with few exceptions, were business owners. There was two subjects that I would never get on. One was politics. The other was religion. I was there to provide a service. I was not there to be someone's minister or to recruit him to a political point of view. I just would not discuss politics, nor would I discuss religion, because I knew it's a sensitive topic with everybody. And most businessmen, if they're smart, don't do that. They don't think ideologically at all. They're focused on trying to make their business successful, and that means growing the business and selling their services or goods to customers or clients, depending on what type of service or goods you're offering. I was in the financial services area. But I stayed out of that, and occasionally, not that often, but occasionally, one of the owners would try to ask me a question in that area, and I would try to dodge it. Not that I don't have views, but I wasn't running for office. I wasn't trying to recruit him to go to or become a member of a church. That was not my role, and I stayed out of it. And most businessmen, that's the way they handle it. A few, though, wear their religion on their sleeve and want to get into it. The advice is to just stay out of politics, stay out of religion. Don't discuss it. It's none of my business, and really, it's none of their business. And it works well. And that's the environment that Donald Trump has come from. He's been a businessman. His problem, and he needs to address it, is this. If you're going to become a politician, that's what he's become since June of last year, you're going to have persuasive answers to a lot of issues. And politicians have to think about this and have to determine what their position is and have a good answer. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example from Ted Cruz. He is a politician. He was elected senator from Texas. Here's a politician giving a political answer.
Here are some of the most powerful words spoken by Jesus in the New Testament. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. One of the main points of this teaching is to challenge us not to see ourselves as better or more important than others, but to instead be willing to defend the defenseless. And there's no person more defenseless than an innocent child in the womb. That's why no issue reveals the true character of a candidate for public office more than the life issue. It's more than a litmus test. It's a window to the soul. Ronald Reagan once observed that the right to life was the most important God-given right of them all. For if you're not alive, then everything else is sort of meaningless. The right to life cannot be compromised like other issues, because a person can't be 80% alive and 20% dead. Either their right to life was protected, or it wasn't. A candidate that can't be trusted to protect the right to life can't be trusted to protect any of our other God-given rights either. When you look at the voting records of politicians, what you'll find is if they're bad on life, they're always, I repeat always, bad on everything else too. If a politician will rob a fellow person of their right to life, rest assured they'll rob you of your private property rights, religious liberty, and look for new taxes and regulations to rob you of your hard-earned money as well. Liberty isn't safe in the hands of a politician that doesn't hold all life sacred. For anyone that doesn't hold life sacred can't possibly know what true liberty is or where true liberty comes from. Because the spirit of true American liberty comes from the Creator, in whose image we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Recently, an overwhelming number of South Carolina Republicans affirmed that spirit when 79% of them voted to include language to defend the right to life of all persons, both born and unborn, in the state's constitution. Mirroring language found in the U.S. Constitution, which states that no person shall be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. I enthusiastically support that resolution, and as President of the United States, I pledge to you that I will do everything within my power to end the scourge of abortion once and for all, that I will use the full constitutional power and the bully pulpit of the presidency to promote a culture of life, that I will sign any legislation put on my desk to defend the least of these, including legislation that defends the rights of all persons, without exception other than the life of the mother, from conception to natural death. that I will not only defund Planned Parenthood, but I will instruct the Department of Justice to investigate Planned Parenthood and to prosecute any and all criminal conduct, which those videos that we saw from the Center for Medical Progress so powerfully evidenced. Everything I just pledged to you should be an automatic requirement for any prospective president who takes an oath of office before an all-powerful God to preserve, protect, and defend our Constitution.
Now, if you're new to the show, I've included this and several other videos in my notes. And the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And below my picture, you'll have the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. And below that, you'll have YouTube videos, photographs, charts, articles, depending on what story I'm covering. I wanted to play that, and if I have time, although I look like I'm running out of time, because that's a good answer. That's a persuasive answer. And if you're pro-life, which I am, that's an answer very much that I would have given. It resonates with those that are pro-life. Now, if you changed your position from being pro-choice, which Donald Trump at one time was, to today where he's pro-life, he's going to have trouble in this area. And it gets to my point, Mr. Trump, if you want to be president, your competitor right now is Ted Cruz. You have a lead because we started with 17 people. But if you want to maintain that lead and increase that lead, you better do your homework. You better start getting real smart in terms of your position on a whole host of issues, just general background information, and then have a clear, concise answer to questions on a whole host of issues, including pro-life. And if you're going to subject yourself to being questioned by Chris Matthews, you need to anticipate he's going to ask a question like this. You see, what the progressives tried to do in 2012, and they'll try again in 2016, is perpetuate a myth that the Republican Party has a war on women. They don't. Most of them, I'd say half, are women. They don't have a war on women. It's a myth. It's propaganda. It's a lie. Let me play a talk that, again, Ted Cruz gave to an audience on this very subject.
2012 elections, Democrats spent a lot of time trying to concoct a war on women. Remember, it started with the George Stephanopoulos question at that Republican debate where he asked about the right to contraceptives, and all the Republicans were completely puzzled. What are you talking about, George? I don't even understand, why are you asking this question? We learned later it was the lead attack in their war on women nonsense. Now, interestingly enough, it's worth noting, the war on women wasn't based on abortion. Democrats actually think when they talk about abortion and they're right, they lose. Because Hillary Clinton's position on abortion are so radical and extreme that 9% of Americans agree with her. That is the exact statistic. Hillary Clinton embraces abortion on demand in all circumstances up until the moment of birth, partial birth abortion with taxpayer funding, with no notification for parents in any circumstances. 91% of Americans say, that's nuts. So what do? They try to shift it. The war on women wasn't that, it was contraceptives. Now listen, I have been a conservative my entire life. I have never met anybody, any conservative who wants to ban contraceptives. As I noted, Heidi and I, we have two little girls. I'm very glad we don't have 17. And it's a great example of what happened with Republicans. When the war on women came up, Republicans would curl up in a ball. They'd say, don't hurt me. Jiminy Cricket, this is a made-up nonsense example. Last I checked, we don't have a rubber shortage in America. Look, when I was in college, we had a machine in the bathroom. You put 50 cents in and voila! So,
Yes, anyone who wants contraceptives can access them, but it's an utterly made-up nonsense issue. And the reason it is, I want you to think for a second. Imagine you're a Democratic politician. I'm sorry, that's a terrible thing to do. But imagine for a second, you're Hillary Clinton. This does kind of look like Leavenworth. You're Hillary Clinton. And you're trying to think, how do I run? Well, you can't run on the economy. Because we have the lowest percentage of Americans working than any year since 1977. You can't run on Obamacare. Because millions of people have lost their jobs, lost their health care, lost their doctors, seen their premiums skyrocket. You certainly can't run on foreign policy. Because every country you touch as Secretary of State is a disaster. So what do? You go, aha, the condom police. I'm going to make up a completely made-up threat and try to scare a bunch of folks that are not paying a lot of attention into thinking someone's going to steal their birth control. What nonsense.
I played those clips for a reason. Donald Trump, this is your competitor. And I think you're probably hearing footsteps in Wisconsin. Your poll numbers have drastically changed in the last week. You were ahead by double digits. Now it's neck and neck. Why? Ted Cruz has thought about the issues. More than thought about the issues, he knows how to present them. In this case, in a very humorous way, in a persuasive way. And yes, he was talking to a group of Republicans. But you need to be fast on your feet. You need to be able to answer in detail, not in broad generalities, questions. Now, I think you're very, very good in taking a lot of questions, and that's admirable. But you need to spend more time thinking about a whole range of issues and then having clear, concise statements of your positions. I know why he answered that Chris Matthews hypothetical the way he did, because he believes in the rule of law. And if you believe in the rule of law, you want, for example, immigration law enforced. It's not being enforced. It wasn't really enforced under President Bush nor under President Obama. They betrayed their oath of office. If they believed in the rule of law and enforced the laws on the books, we wouldn't have 30 to 50 million illegal aliens in the United States. And we wouldn't be talking about immigration. You see, there's rather sharp differences between the Democratic Party on immigration as well as the rights of a baby in the womb. The Democratic Party is for open borders, which means if you can get here, you can get a job and eventually become a citizen. They don't want to enforce the laws pertaining to immigration, especially in the interior of the United States. And they don't want the states, as well as the federal government. I really think this is a state issue, and it's up to the people of each state to decide whether or not they want to make abortion legal or illegal. And over time, they can change their position, but that is the right of the people in each state. And it will be largely determined on their ethics, their morality, and their religion. I'm pro-life. I will only vote for candidates that are strongly pro-life, as well as for the rule of law, which means I want all laws enforced regarding illegal immigration, as well as legal. And we've had two presidents now in a row for 16 years that did not vigorously stop the invasion of this country. And now we have problems, huge problems, and huge deficits every year, and large deficits. All of these issues are related. The rule of law issue pertains not only to immigration, but also to the prosecution, for example, of doctors who perform abortions. Right now, it's not being applied because of the Roe versus Wade decision. It's up to the people of the states and their state legislatures to really make this an issue. Outlaw abortions in the state and specify who should be punished. The doctor and the nurse, the providers of this services, are murdering babies. I think they should be prosecuted, and they're not because of the Supreme Court decision. Well, it's time for our Congress and our states to act. And whether or not they want to punish the mother, which is involved in this, that's up to the people and the representatives both in Congress and in the state legislatures. I think you understand where I'm coming from. I agree with Ted Cruz. That's why Ted Cruz is my first choice. It's not Donald Trump. But I can vote for both a Trump or a Cruz ticket. And right now, I'm a realist. The reality is, as of today, Donald Trump has a huge lead in terms of the number of delegates. And as a rational person, I don't see how Ted Cruz can close that gap. I don't think Ted Cruz can get to 1,237. If he can, he wins the nomination, and it's terrific. Because in articulating the pro-life position, he's very, very good. Very good. And I think if he debated Hillary Clinton, I won't say destroyer, I think he would make a lot of people say, I'm for him. Mr. Trump, that's your competitor. You need to stop being lazy and do your homework. And if you're not willing to do your homework, get smart on the issues, get a clear, concise message, you're going to pay a price. And Ted Cruz might catch up to you and beat you. And Hillary Clinton is going to be your opponent. And you better be prepared. And I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. And I'm disappointed. I've heard your stump speech dozens of times. And today I just double-checked your website on your positions. It hasn't grown. You have some great positions on the Second Amendment, on immigration, but I didn't see a position on pro-life. Not surprised. I'm not surprised. There's a whole host of issues that are going to come up, both now and after whoever's nominated. You see, I want to vote for a winner, not a loser. And right now you're winning, but you better get your act together. You better come prepared, because Ted Cruz is coming prepared to talk the issues and make it clear to everybody where he stands. And just so you understand where I'm coming from, I had reservations on Ted Cruz in terms of immigration, especially on H-1B visas. I know he's changed his position, but I didn't like what I was seeing. And I have reservations on yours as well. What am I talking about? Every Republican, including Cruz and you, are real strong on securing the borders. And finally, Chris Matthews asked you a pointed question on this town hall. We should go after the employers. And guess what? I agree with Chris Matthews. Seldom do I agree with him, but I agree with him on this. If you truly want to stop illegal immigration, you got to turn off the magnet of job opportunities, which means going after the employers. There are already laws on the books. You should know this. And fines, stiff fines. The problem is we want a president that makes it very clear to business, if you hire an illegal alien, you run the risk of being prosecuted, paying a fine, and possibly going to jail. Make it an issue and challenge this 11 or 12 million number. That's nonsense. It's more like 30 to 50 million. You see, I want to be convinced that the Republican Party and its candidates truly mean what they say. I'm totally unconvinced about that. That's why I have reservations of Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Now, they're a lot better than most of the other candidates and all of the Democrats. But no one's perfect, and that's the point. There are no perfect candidates here. Why, Ted Cruz, as an excellent speaker and debater, that's a strong point, a litigator. He has never run a large organization. You have, Mr. Trump, and I appreciate and respect what you've done there, as do millions of your supporters. And the job of President of the United States is being the chief executive officer of this country. And that means a lot of delegation. And really, it's only the very hardest decisions that should be on your desk. And you got to be aware of the issues. That doesn't mean you're an expert on everything. Yeah, you can listen to the expert. But on the tough decisions, the decisions are going to be yours, and you're going to have to communicate not only the position, but the decision. The hand-waving and the repetition of the same messages, while that's all right for the first 6 months to get your stump speech down, what both parties are looking for are communicators. And let's face it, Hillary Clinton is not a good communicator. And I don't think she's going to be a very good debater. But you're going to have to at least equal, if not exceed, her. And let's not jump the gun. It's not over until you're nominated. And a lot of people are looking closer and closer at both you and Ted Cruz, as well as Hillary Clinton. And they want their candidate to be sharp and answer the questions that you should anticipate getting from Chris Matthews. I'm not surprised he raised the issue of abortion. And it was a trap. It was a setup. I think you saw it coming. But I think you could have, if you were prepared, had a better answer. And if you were prepared and had a better answer, you wouldn't have to change it the next day. Yeah, I think the murderer of anyone, including a baby, should be punished. And that is the doctor that performs these abortions, as well as the nurse that assists them with it. But, and this is a big but, if abortion is illegal in a state or in the United States, crimes have punishment. And what that punishment is up to the people of the state. And I would have pressed Chris Matthews more on the religion issue. It's a rather convenient answer. Well, in terms of morals, I follow my church. Well, in terms of the Constitution, it's really a state issue. That's what I follow. And it's up to the people of each state to decide whether or not they want abortion legal or not. So all I'm pleading for is both candidates to do their homework, get smart, because there's too much at stake here, gentlemen, too much at stake. And yes, Donald Trump is having a bad week. I understand that. I think you need a little more sleep, Mr. Trump. I'm having a similar problem. But there's no excuse for not coming prepared and thinking about it. And that's the first step. You need to read a lot, think about it. You have a staff, prepare position papers, understand what your position is and the fact that you can communicate it to others. That's critical. It is critical. Because if you don't do it, guess what? Hillary Clinton is going to do it. And you better believe Ted Cruz is doing it. I think you're well aware of it. That's why yesterday I said, proposed the question, will you pledge to vote for a Donald Trump, Ted Cruz ticket, a Republican unity ticket where Donald Trump is the presidential nominee and Ted Cruz is the vice president nominee? I think if you did that as a team, you should be unbeatable. Everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. Everyone has advantages and disadvantages. But when you're running for president, you have to apply those. And where you're weak or don't know the issues, that means you have to spend time learning it, not repeating the same answer over and over. I know repetition is key, but I'm telling you the issue of being pro-life, if you were as strong as Ted Cruz is on pro-life as you are on illegal immigration, you'd win. Because those are two very much deal-breaking, hot-button issues with the American people. The American people are looking for candidates that have a clear, concise, unambiguous answer to the hard questions facing this country. I know that the citizens of the United States are very much divided, and a lot of this is along party lines as to whether or not they're pro-choice or pro-abortion or favor open doors, in other words, favor as many illegal aliens that come here to have a pathway to citizenship, as are those that want immigration controlled and the laws of this land enforced. It is up to the candidates, though, not talk show hosts, not their supporters, to make the case. So for both candidates, and it's hard when you're traveling and giving stump speech after stump speech, but whatever spare time you have has to be focused on the issues of concern of the American people. And number one is not abortion. It's jobs. Jobs, jobs, jobs is the number one issue. Second is the economy is not doing well. And the source of this problem is out of control government spending. These are not easy issues, but they need to be addressed, and how you're going to do it spelled out. It's not enough to say, I have a plan. That's lame. You might get away with it when you're discussing national security. Well, I have a plan, but I don't want to tell my enemies. Well, that'll work. But the American people want to know, well, what is your plan to make America great again? Great slogan. I think it's a terrific slogan. But how? Be specific. What federal departments are you going to close, if any? How are you going to balance the budget? When are you going to balance the budget? How are you going to reform welfare? How are you going to reform entitlement programs? Because that's where the big dollars are. Those are questions I want answered. You see, I don't have a party or a candidate. I'm no longer a Republican. I haven't been a Republican for 10 years. I've given up on the... I came to the conclusion 10 years ago they're nothing but a big government party. Call them Democratic Party Light. They're bought and paid for politicians, bought and paid for by the donor class, the people that own and run this country. And Donald Trump is part of it, and he knows it. He knows how Washington works. What the American people are asking of both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, how are you going to turn around the country? And it's not just trade. And you see, I sort of lost patience with Chris Matthews because you're absolutely right on the fact that China is cheating by manipulating the value of its currency. That goes way over Chris Matthews' head, and he doesn't want to go there, but that is part, and I won't say the heart, but it's part of the problem. And you're right on it. But it's a hard issue to get across to the American people. I don't think it's that hard. It's very simple. What China wants to do is keep its exports cheap, and the way they do it is manipulate their currency so it's undervalued. As a result, we have massive deficits with China, and it puts U.S. businesses and industries at a disadvantage because our goods and services are much higher, because the value of the dollar is much higher. Now, be very, very careful here. A lot of countries are manipulating the value of their currency, including the United States. You see, you're rather short on position papers of some of the key issues. Namely, how are you going to balance the budget? I don't see a paper on that, Mr. Trump. I want specifics. How? It needs to be cut by over a trillion, really $1,500 billion. If you want to balance the budget, that's a ballpark figure. You have to do a lot of cutting, and a lot of that cutting is welfare programs and entitlement programs, not very popular. But they need to be done. I'm looking for leadership, not a cheerleader, not a leader on a white horse. I'm looking for a leader that can explain the issues and why they're important and what you as president will actively seek to correct the situation. Where college and high school students have 5 to 10 good job offers above the minimum wage. Show me how. You need to answer the how question, and it needs to be specific. And more importantly, it needs to be persuasive. Hand-waving and repeating the same question over and over, that works for a while, but it's not going to work in the general election. Both of you need to really sharpen your message. And that's what happens. People are tested. That's why there are only two Republican candidates left. The two gentlemen have been tested, and together they have over half the votes that have been taken so far. I think it's closer to 60%, somewhere between 50 and 60%. I have those. Well, I didn't publish them on this. I published them on the last show notes, so you can go there and look at the actual numbers. So I wish both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump well. I think Donald Trump may take this week to heart and redouble his efforts, get a second win, and come out swinging. But please get off this petty, childish nonsense concerning your families and your wives. I don't want to hear it. It's beneath both of you. Drop it. Agree to drop it. And Mr. Trump, stop wasting time tweeting and start reading and talking to the people in charge of putting these position papers together, the experts. You need to get smart on this. Do you think I come into the studio unprepared? No, I spend several hours preparing a show, and I got to talk about a different subject every day, depending on what's in the news, and I don't know what's going to be on the news tomorrow. That's what you have to do if you want to communicate a message. Preparation. Be prepared. I'm a former Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. Be prepared. That is a terrific motto, by the way. Be prepared. And I hope in future debates and in your stump speeches, you'll expand them and tell the American people what's on your mind. How are you going to correct the situation? Many people, both in the Democratic and Republican Party, including our current president, are of the firm view these jobs are never going to come back. Are never, never, never going to come back. And part of that is true, but part of it isn't. And you know it. I want to make America great again. But it's going to take leadership for this reason. No matter who gets elected, whether it's you, Mr. Trump, or you, Mr. Cruz, guess what? After you're sworn in, the bureaucracy is still there. The House is still there. The Senate is still there. The Democratic Party is still there. And so is the Republican Party leadership. And they're gunning for you, and you know it. Both of you. They don't like you. They don't want you. Your support is from the American people, and that means communicating over their heads directly to the American people on the issues and concerns of the American people, and that is jobs, the economy, national security, the invasion of this country by illegals, and a host of other questions, including protecting the lives of the least protected, the baby in the womb. I will give a show tomorrow, but before I do, I have to close out this one with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.